The Affordable Care Act has been the hot topic for weeks now, and if Republicans repeal it and replace it with a different approach, chances are they will rely heavily on high-deductible insurance plans. 46 million Americans already have this kind of plan. I do. Basically, it means I'm responsible for the first $4,000 of care expenses for my family before insurance really starts to kick in. And we know that these plans curb healthcare spending, but we're just beginning to learn how they impact people's decisions and health. Dan Gorenstein is here now. He reports on Healthcare for Marketplace. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Maiken.
And Dan, you found a researcher who wanted to really get some answers, and he started an experiment.
Right. Yeah. No, it's sort of a crazy experiment in a way. He decided, his name's Dr. Ashish Jha. He lives outside of Boston. He teaches at Harvard. He wanted to put his whole family into a high-deductible health plan. He wanted to see what sorts of decisions and choices they would make, what kinds of healthcare consumers they would be. So I caught up with Ashish the night he came home from this like amazingly brutal 11-day business trip. He was in Hong Kong, Paris, Florence. His briefcase got stolen, including his wedding ring. I mean,
no.
You know, I mean, you can only imagine. The guy was sort of like out of it a little bit. And he opens the door. He unlocks the door, and the kids just bum rush him, right? They're yelling and screaming. He's wrestling with his 5-year-old son. You know, they're 11, 9, and 5, and as you can hear, they're really happy. They're also really healthy. And them being healthy, Maiken, has made it much easier for Ashish to do this high-deductible experiment that he's doing.
I thought it would be really useful to have a sense of what it's like as a family, when I'm thinking about my own kids, I'm thinking about my own spouse and making healthier decisions, to know what it actually feels like to have to pay for everything out of pocket, at least until you hit your deductible.
Now, the family's on the hook for everything. Checkups, the random strep throat, prescriptions, until they hit their $6,000 cap. What kind of guy makes his family do that when he doesn't have to? The kind who's a doctor, a Harvard health policy professor, and someone who's spent the last dozen years trying to figure out how to make healthcare more efficient and effective for everybody.
And high deductible health plans are supposed to be one of those things that's supposed to make the healthcare system work better. And none of us has the exact right answer for what American healthcare needs to look like.
The whole idea behind high deductibles is to make sure consumers have skin in the game. Unlike a $30 copay for a doctor's visit, the hope is when people absorb the entire cost for that appointment, they'll be more price sensitive. What experts like Ashish have known for decades is high deductibles force us to cut back. The question is, what do we cut back on? The wasteful stuff, like name brand drugs instead of generics, or the critical things, like canceling a cardiologist appointment when you've got heart disease. The expectation is people like Ashish and his wife Deb Stump will hunt and find great deals, and doctors and hospitals will in turn make it easier to shop, for example, by making prices more transparent. The reality, says Deb, is they've been forced to do a lot of guessing, for example, when their son needed a follow-up after his surgery.
In the past, I would have just called and made the appointment. This time, I was pretty sure since I was a specialist, it was going to be quite expensive.
Good luck trying to find a doctor who can tell you how much the appointment will cost in advance. Welcome to the family's new normal, unknown prices and feeling unsure whether it's worth it.
I sat on it for a while and then I called Ashish and Ashish said, yeah, you should probably have the follow-up. So we went and it was probably a two-minute visit and ended up costing $465.
I don't think any of us should be confused. This experiment, it's stressful, it's difficult, and it may not get us where we want to go.
Of course, the tempting conclusion here is if Dr. Ashish Jha can't figure this out and he's this Harvard health policy wonk extraordinaire, what hope can the rest of us have?
What I take away from Ashish's story is that simply calling the patient a consumer doesn't make buying healthcare anything like buying cars and computers.
That's Harvard economist Amitabh Chandra. He also used to be a fan of high deductible plans until he did what's become one of the most important studies on this. Chandra and his colleagues looked at what happened to well-paid, tech-savvy employees at a Fortune 100 company who were switched into high deductibles and were given a state-of-the-art computer program to compare prices.
We found no evidence that consumers were learning to price shop after 2 years of high deductible coverage. None.
But what troubled Chandra even more was that employees, the healthy and the sick, skipped out on care indiscriminately.
Prevention, imaging, drugs, consumers were cutting back on all of those. And that's a sign that they don't really know what care is valuable and what care isn't valuable.
Here's the thing. The whole point of high deductibles is to get people to make better choices, and by doing that, they'll save the whole system money. And it works, sort of. You certainly save money, up to 15%, and we do make different decisions, just not the decisions people assumed we would. Chandra's work has helped solidify a consensus. High deductibles are great for healthy people. They come with cheaper premiums, and most of us are healthy. But if you're chronically ill, poor, or unlucky enough to get hit by a bus, they can be a disaster. And it almost was for Dr. Ashish Jha. The morning after he got back from that bruising business trip, his heart started pounding.
Imagine like running as fast as you can, and when you stop and your heart is racing, that continuing for minutes and minutes and minutes, it's not a great feeling.
Ashish has a condition where his heart can rev up. These episodes happen to him once or twice a year. It usually passes pretty quick. At half an hour, though, he was worried. At an hour, his wife wanted him to go to the ER.
And I was resisting it. She actually asked me, if a patient of yours called you with this, what would you recommend to them? And I said, oh yeah, that's easy. Go to the emergency department.
Even as the pressure in his chest grew, Ashish dug in. He didn't want to drop 2,000 or 3 or 5, even though he knew this could be a heart attack, even though he had the money to pay the bill. Did you make a mistake? Should you have gotten in that ambulance that morning?
Boy, that's a hard question to answer. I mean, you know, I should have gone to the hospital. But, you know, I knew there was a big bill waiting for me if I did, and I rolled the dice.
He got lucky. After an hour, his heart started to slow down. Ashish's experiment is helping him see what more and more research is showing. High deductibles carry risks. In moments, they force you to be your own physician, something even a physician can struggle to do for himself.
And then, let me get this right. Here is a doctor who is perhaps having a heart attack, and he is freaking out over a couple of thousand dollars he might be spending. I mean, that's crazy.
It is. And I mean, we heard Ashish sort of admit to it, right? Like, I made a mistake. And I think, Mike, and what's interesting about Ashish's story is that thinking about money and healthcare simultaneously can really distort what we do. And this is really sort of one of the scary pieces potentially of these plans.
And I guess when it comes to healthcare, you are taught in a way, better safe than sorry, better safe than sorry, right? But then all of a sudden, when $3,000 or $4,000 are sitting on the table, then maybe being sorry means I spent that cash when I didn't have to.
Yeah, I think there's a behavioral economic piece to all this. And I think one of the reasons why high deductible plans work, I mean, a lot of people will call them this blunt tool. And the reason I think they work is because they play on our psychology and how we behave. We don't want to spend the money, even if you do set a bunch of dollars, thousands of dollars aside, you keep waiting to use that for something when it really matters, when you get hit by the proverbial bus. And I think high deductibles, particularly in acute moments, are going to force more people to gamble.
How are Republicans thinking about these plans moving ahead, knowing these things? Could you design a plan like this in a way that steers us in a direction that makes sense? So we're both economically smart, but we're also smart in terms of our own care.
Yeah, there's this idea making its way around. It's sometimes called high-value care or high deductibles 2.0, one source described it to me as. And I think that the simple idea is to design a plan, particularly for people with chronic conditions, so we're talking diabetes, asthma, COPD, things like this, where some of the preventative care that people know they need and some of their meds that they always take, those things would be either at low or no cost. But then if you need to go to see a specialist, you'd be on the hook for lots of other things. So it's sort of a smarter, high deductible plan where some predictable events in your life are going to be covered. But beyond that, sort of you're on your own and you need to be this sort of more conscientious consumer.
Yeah, it's very difficult. I've worked at it over these last couple of years. Dan, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike.
And of course, I'm only waiting to hit my deductible so then I can go like to every doctor I've ever wanted to see.
Work the system, baby.
I'm trying.